Mr. Chair, let me start by thanking you for having anchored the issue of science and technology in your draft document L1, which acknowledges the importance of monitoring ongoing and new science and technology developments relevant to the Convention. As briefly outlined in the general debate yesterday, Switzerland suggests that this review conference decides to hold an informal meeting of high contracting parties to the CCW in 2017, an informal meeting of one day, to consider how developments in the field of science and technology relevant to the Convention should be addressed under the Convention. Our detailed considerations are contained in Working Paper 4. We make this proposal because we are of the view that ongoing and future innovation and developments in science and technology may have significant implications for the CCW. Key technologies where such developments are taking place include, but are not limited to, neurotechnology, nanotechnology, the cognitive technologies, material science, energy technologies, or digital and communication technologies. Developments in these areas may impact the nature of existing types or classes of weapons, or possibly lead one day to the emergence of new types of conventional weapons, as well as new means and methods of warfare. While there are a number of questions that have to be further examined about the nature of the impact of science and technology for the CCW, it seems only natural that CCW high contracting parties consider these developments carefully and systematically. This is important in view of ensuring the continued relevance, integrity, and adequacy of the Convention. In our working paper, we suggest to take a two-stage approach. A first meeting could be tasked to address both substance and process. It could hold a first substantial discussion on the S&T areas which are relevant. We think it would be useful if high contracting parties would get briefings on S&T from governmental experts as well as from other institutions with relevant expertise, followed by an exchange among high contracting parties. The goal of this initial substantive discussion would be to provide us with a first rough survey of S&T, of an overview of relevant areas in S&T, and allow for a first informed discussion, including about what topics should be further considered by the CCW. Regarding process, the meeting should address the required periodicity and form of such an S&T review. Different approaches are indeed possible. Such a process does not need to be very heavy and resource intensive. We are at this stage open as to how the CCW should monitor S&T in the future. We think that CCW high contracting parties could take into account experiences made in other fields of arms control. We understand that this review conference has to decide over a number of very important topics for further work, which is why we tailored our proposal in a rather modest way, aiming at holding of such a first meeting, which would be a small first step in view of enabling states to hold a discussion about the pertinence of such technologies and their relevance for the CCW. Our delegation is open to discuss this proposal further with interested delegation, not least with regard to the agenda. Now let me turn to MOTAPAM. Switzerland welcomes the language just submitted by the Irish delegation on behalf of a large group, Switzerland being a co-sponsor of this proposal. The language reflects that while the use of MOTAPAM per se is legitimate, every possible precaution has to be taken to minimize the humanitarian harm and to ensure full compliance with international humanitarian law. The language also points to specific practical measures that should be taken into consideration. It is, in our view, very important that the CCW review conference can agree on such language and indicate that it is the right forum to work on this issue. Switzerland sees strong value in continuing work in the CCW and MOTAPAM and fully supports the establishment of a GGE as suggested by Ireland on behalf of the mentioned group of states. It is our hope that further work in the CCW can help achieve a better balance between humanitarian concerns and military considerations. We fully support that the GGE meets in 2017 to discuss further the implementation of international humanitarian law with regard to MOTAPAM, and to highlight further the specific measures can be taken nationally in view to minimize the humanitarian harm and to ensure full compliance with international humanitarian law. Let me briefly turn to incendiary weapons. Like others, Switzerland is concerned about the significant number of alleged unlawful uses of incendiary weapons that seem to have occurred since the fourth review conference. We are glad to see that the draft final declaration reflects the concerns raised by a number of high contracting parties over the recent growing number of reports of use of incendiary weapons against civilians. Like others, Switzerland would also support stronger language condemning such use incompatible with Protocol 3 and with customary international humanitarian law, and as it will be introduced by New Zealand. We note, however, that the draft document includes a call on all parties to armed conflict to respect relevant rules of international humanitarian law, including provisions of Protocol 3 where applicable. As already proposed at the preparatory committee, high contracting parties, when reviewing Protocol 3 during this review conference, should, in our view, not only consider the implementation of the provisions of Protocol 3. Against the background of various concerns expressed in relation to weapons with incendiary effects since Protocol 3 was adopted in 1980, it seems to our delegation pertinent to also discuss whether the provisions contained therein still adequately protect civilians and combatants from the severe consequences of weapons with incendiary effects. In this regard, two aspects may deserve particular attention. We believe it is pertinent to discuss the differentiation in the protocol between the airdropped and ground-launched incendiary weapons. There are other uses relating to the text of the protocol which deserve a discussion, notably whether it is possible to find a better balance between the protection of civilians as well as combatants on the one side and the legitimate military interests for providing a smoke cover and illuminating on the other side. We hope that the review conference will decide to hold a meeting next year to discuss such questions. Last but not least, let me turn to the financial challenges, and we would emphasize that we would see value in adding some language along the lines of the text adopted by the BWC review conference, as well as the MSP of the Convention on the Prohibition of Anti-Personnel Landmines. Thank you, Mr. Chair.